Oh, that's right. We are here this afternoon. I am here with County Councilman Steve Brown, and he's been on County Council really, I guess, since the first of the year. Is that when this happened?
January 1.
And how is it, Steve Brown, going from being a city manager for as many years as you were a city manager to becoming a county council person?
It's quite different.
Quite different?
It's quite different. Being a hired hand and being in the management end, never been an elected official until now. So it's been a learning experience for me, but it's been enjoyable, and I think we've been able to do some good things. Got a lot of other things that we're looking forward to trying to implement, trying to help the county. But it has been different. You learned the art of negotiation. When you're a manager, you have people who work for you, and
you can make
a decision, and usually it gets done. And on county council, I have six other co-councilmen that I must convince that my ideas are good.
Well, you know, I think they are coming a long way. I just was surprised. I don't think I had read about this, but I was asking you about the sirens, because back first part of the year, there was discussion of getting rid of all those sirens and a tremendous cost. And I remember you coming on board and saying, you know, we need to look at this. And I just found out, you told us in Tuesday night's report, all 19 out of 19 are now working.
That's exactly what happened Tuesday night. The county manager made his report to us, and part of that report was that 19 out of 19 are now operating. That's what many of us on council felt should be done. I think there are still some that feel strongly that we ought to eliminate them and do away with them. But since they're in place, I feel like we ought to do everything we can to keep them in place. Use the new technology, but do not absolutely just void out the old sirens. And evidently right now we didn't get a cost estimate or cost of what the county incurred to get these operating, but we are told that they're all operating at this time, and that sounds good to me.
Absolutely, sounds great, because it was quite a big dollar figure they were talking about if they had to replace, or even they were talking about even repairing them was supposed to be very expensive. But I kind of think if they didn't bring it up, it must not have been too expensive.
Must not. They must have worked it out in their budget.
Worked it out in their budget. I think that's y'all's budget.
That's right.
Well, that sounds good. And, of course, there's a lot of issues on the table that are being talked about. One of them, of course, is what's going to happen with the Civic Center. Now, I know that that the Civic Center has been closed, what, for 4 years, I think, now. Is that right? It's about 4 years.
A number of years. I don't know exactly, but a good many years.
And you know, that really was, I mean, I felt very strongly it was a shame when they closed it. I understand that they felt they had to close it. But now, here we are, I think it's about 4 years later, County Council closed the Civic Center in 2009. Now that they're talking about what to do, and what do you think about what they're talking? I mean, they're talking about what, $2.5 to $3.5 million to bring it back up so it would be usable?
Well, it appears that from the staff's recommendations, it's going to be a low of $2 million. It could be as much as $3 million, could be $3.5 million to bring it in compliance with codes and to put it in a condition that you would want to invite the public to use the building. And those of us who are new on council have inherited this problem. We were not there to make decisions to close it. We were not there when someone decided to neglect the building. I think over the years it's been neglected. They did not do the routine maintenance. They did not upkeep the equipment. And now the building has fallen into a state of disrepair. And we're looking at this tremendous cost if we decide to open it. I think there are a lot of people in the community that fall on one side or the other. I think the community may even be split. There's a lot of people that say, demolish the building, tear it down, get rid of it. It's an eyesore. It's not usable any longer. There are other people that say we need to repair it, bring it into compliance, and open it back up. as one council member, I have to deal with what's on the table right now, and that's that tremendous cost of $3 million. So there's some things that I'd like to see. I'd like to hear more from the public. I have advocated that they form a committee, business people, construction people, get some expertise from people who have knowledge about operations of these centers, and get input from people more than just the seven of us who sit on county council and the staff. Some people on council agree with that. Others say, you know, we've got to make the decision. It's our decision. We'll make it. And you're going to have five on one side and five on the other, and that's the way the public's going to be. But I think it would be difficult for me to vote on it without hearing from the public, at least giving them that opportunity.
What has your constituents, have you heard anything from them?
I have some that say tear it down. I have some say that we need to keep it. I read comments in the paper when people make comments, so I think there's a divided public. And I think we need to look at other facilities in the community and how they're being used. I think there's only so much that you can use these kind of buildings. So we have the multipurpose building at Tech, Multicultural Center in Hodges. We have the Lander facility. There's a lot of talk about other facilities that may be built in the future. And I think to put that sum of money into the Civic Center and then it not be used on a routine basis to support that cost, I think that would be a bad decision. And then we're looking at probably a minimum of $200,000 a year, could be at least $250,000 to keep it operating. You got to have staff, you got to have setup staff, takedown staff, you've got to have utilities. So there's a lot of cost there, and it's going to be a tough decision, and I'm sure we're going to make some people happy and some people sad. But that's where we are right now. But it is a hot issue. Councilman Templeton has asked for it to be put on the agenda. He would like to see a decision made very soon. So I think it will be in our face for the next few months until that decision is made.
Absolutely. So so at this point, nobody has said, let's form a committee or let's get some input from outside people?
There hasn't been a committee formed.
Okay.
And people talk about having a public hearing, but if we have the attendance at that public hearing that we have at most of ours, nobody will show up. So I think we've got to go out and solicit input. We've got to go out and identify people that we need. And maybe we need representatives from other entities. We need people from Piedmont Tech. We need people from Lander. We need people from other facilities, and come together and see what's best for the community, not just in the next 6 months, not just in the next 2 years, but long term, what's the best?
Sure. Well, you know, I think one of the questions that some people have said is that it's was too small, it was this, it was that. But looking futuristically, you're right. When we look at this area, there's not a big venue to accommodate,
and that's right.
We have kind of put ourselves off the map when a lot of groups and country stuff and all this kind of thing were coming here. Now they don't come here anymore. I think it's the rodeo always used to be out there at the Civic Center, and Brian Hope has now brought it to the Lander Equestrian
That's exactly
Center,
right.
And he is hopeful that that they can continue out there. But he said they were there for 19 years at the Civic Center. So you're right. I think we do need a lot of input. If anybody has a question or a comment you'd like to make on that, you can give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. I'm going to have Steve Brown here till 5 o'clock, and then at 5 o'clock promptly, I understand I must be off the air because Clemson takes over the airwaves. Hey, we'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking about what to do with the Civic Center. I have Steve Brown here with me right now. This is the topic on the table. And, you know, Steve, if the decision was made to demolish it, do away with the building, I know there's been a lot of conversation about having more sports fields put in, soccer, baseball, Little League, and all this type of thing. How do you feel about that?
A lot of people have suggested that we need more soccer fields, we need more baseball, we need more softball, those kinds of fields. And once I heard that, then the first question I asked was how often are we using them now?
Sure.
So I asked the county manager to provide me with some data on 2012-2013 year. How many participants did we have in our recreational programs?
Sure.
There's less than 900 children who participated in sports event at the in the Parks Recreation Department. That includes youth baseball, softball, basketball, and football. Less than 900, and some of those numbers included a program where they had cheerleaders for the youth football. So they don't require fields or things
sure.
of that nature. So my question would be, I mean, if we're going to put more fields there, do we really need them? And I think maybe we have not been marketing our programs, and this is something that I have suggested to the county manager, and he tells me that he's looking into it and working with our staff. But when I go to Richland County, every corner that I turn in Richland County, I see these large signs saying registration for fall football. And I mean, so we've got to get our numbers up, and we don't need to be building any more fields. And I know there's a lot of contributing factors. I know travel ball. We have travel baseball for young kids, and then we have travel softball even for the ladies, and there's a lot of soccer. We mm-hmm. have toros and things of that
sure.
nature that have taken participants, but not everybody is a star. So we have a need to have facilities and programs for those who do not qualify or who do not care to play this travel ball, because it can that in itself, only a few select people can play on these teams, and then it's very expensive. So
sure.
I would want us to look at the usage and the participation in our existing programs before we start talking about building new programs.
Now, how about any adult programs? Do we have any adult programs?
According to the information provided me by the city manager, we did not have one adult team participate in the Parks and Recreation program. And I can remember years ago when I was a lot younger, played church softball, used to be open league, industrial league, church leagues, and every night you could go out and there were all kinds of adults and teams and whatever, and now we don't even have that. So, the budget for Parks and Recreation in the county budget is over $800,000 a year.
Where does the money go?
It's going to keep up, maintain the facilities and provide the program. So, you know, it's something we've got to look at. Now, a lot of people, those are tough questions, and a lot of people will probably hammer me for asking those tough questions, but those are things that's got to be asked, and hopefully we can increase our participation. We don't want to do away with anything. I'm not suggesting we do away with Parks and Recreation,
sure.
but we've got to make sure that our investment into that program is reaping the benefits that we expect. And if we have 800 children, 900 children in a program that's costing $800,000,
wow.
I mean anybody can do the numbers there. So it's incumbent upon the county manager, it's incumbent upon the Parks and Recreation Director, it's incumbent upon us as county council members to do our homework and to make sure we're making good decisions and we're investing the dollars where they need to be. So what will happen after if they do demolish the Civic Center? I think that's a big question. And if I were a member of the public wanting questioning what's going to happen, I just don't want to know that you're going to tear it down, but tell me what you're going to do with it. It's even been suggested that we build a water park.
Yes, I've heard that one a lot. Yes.
there's a lot of things on the table about that Civic Center and about the property.
Absolutely. So this is the time where we need to get involved. And you said something very interesting. You said a lot of people have suggested having a public hearing, but if it's anything like what have appeared at, I guess, county council meetings, are you saying that there's not that involvement?
Well, one of my platform, one of the issues in my platform was to have more transparency and open the meetings up. And we've done a number of things, not just myself, but with the other six council members. We no longer meet at Park Plaza for administrative meetings. All of those meetings are held at the library in the big room. So, I mean, the public can come in. There's plenty of seating capacity. So people can come and listen to what goes on in the meetings. We have made a provision where people can come in and speak to any item on the agenda without even having to file any kind of pre-notice. They can come in, look at the agenda, see an issue, want to speak on it, sign a sheet, and speak on it. We've had one meeting where people have spoke. Most of our public hearings, nobody ever speaks unless it is a zoning issue, and usually it's the person who's wanting the zoning that speaks. So I'm not being critical of the public, but I'm just saying that...
Do we think the information gets out there so that they know? I've started announcing when these county council meetings are.
I mean, but it's out there and it's available, and it's good to hear from the public. And if we don't hear from them, then oftentimes we make decisions within a vacuum, and I'm not sure that's the best. So hopefully the public participation will increase. And there's been a number of issues that did not, by law, require public hearings. And some of us on council have suggested to the other council members, why don't we have a public hearing on that issue? And they would say, well, it's not required. We say, understand, but let's have one. We would have it. Nobody would show up.
So, well, something needs to be done about that then, Steve, because after all, everybody is concerned about the dollars that are being spent at county council. And of course, with the issues that have preceded you being there and everything, I think that the public has a lot. I hear a lot of comments when I'm talking to people and everything. Sure. But I guess taking that time to be at the meeting maybe isn't that important, and it's easier to bitch about it afterwards.
And I understand that we now have other means for, and I get emails from my constituents. I get phone calls, and I hear from them. I'm just saying that on some of these matters, these issues, not only do I need to hear, but the other six council members need to hear, and often people will talk to one, but when we have a public hearing, that's an opportunity for everyone to hear from the public. So I would encourage people that when you have a concern or if you want to know what's going on, then come to the county council meetings, and I think it can only make us better as council members when we hear what the public thinks.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Steve Brown, County Councilman. Now, I understand that you've just had a knee replaced, and it's, what, been 6 weeks. How you doing on this, Steve?
I'm doing great. Everything is great. It's been good. Look forward to getting through with my physical therapy and getting back to my normal life.
Well, folks, he's wearing shorts today here because he wanted to show off his knee, and it looks darn good. I can tell you that. how you had your bypass, your heart, everything's good there?
Everything's good.
Well, so you're becoming the $6 million man?
I don't know about that, but my wife tells me she did not have these problems with me when I worked, so I need to get a job, or either she's probably going to put me in adult daycare.
Well, now that could be an experience, Steve Brown. Well, we've got just a few seconds before we go to South Carolina news. How's that grandbaby of yours doing?
Doing great.
Doing great.
Doing good.
And Megan?
Megan's doing good.
Yeah. So
Jesse will be a year old the 15th of October.
a year old, the 15th of October. That's coming right up.
We're all doing good.
All doing good. Well, that's great. Hey, I am here with Steve Brown, Councilman Steve Brown. If you've got a question, some of the things we're going to be talking about, I want to touch on flow control. I also want to touch on, we talked about the sirens, some of the other things that are going on and things that maybe Steve would like to touch on. Hey, if you've got a question for us, don't hesitate to pick up that phone. This is your opportunity, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Give us a call. We'll be back after the news.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery, and we are talking with Steve Brown, County Council Steve Brown. And, you know, I know a big subject of discussion, and whether it's having Mike Pitts that was on a couple of weeks ago, whether it's Toby, whether it's a lot of people all have opinions about this flow control issue, which, of course, has to do with the cost of dumping your trash, correct?
That's correct.
So, Steve Brown, I ask you, what do you think on flow control?
Well, I have several, opinions about flow control. I find it disheartening when the legislature sits in Columbia and passes rules and says, Greenwood County, you must provide a certain type of landfill, a certified landfill. We have DHEC mandating it. We have EPA mandating it. And if you're going to bury your trash, you have to bury it. You have to meet all of these regulations. That was done 20, 25 years ago, and it was a huge capital cost to Greenwood County. It was resulted in a landfill fee being adopted by County Council and passed on to the taxpayers. The legislature needs to understand that when they pass on mandates down to the local people, the county council needs to have home rule control to be able to generate revenue to pay for those mandates that they often pass on to us. So I think it's a home rule issue. I don't like the legislature sitting in Columbia telling county councils what they should and should not do. Flow control should be a Greenwood County Council issue, and the people in Greenwood should hold Greenwood County Council accountable on the flow control issue, and it shouldn't be mandated out of Columbia. So I have a problem with legislature getting involved. The second thing is, I could not vote for flow control here at Greenwood County right now because Greenwood County chose 20, 25 years ago not to adopt a flow control ordinance, and now there are business people in this county that have gone out. They have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to set up their business, and they have a good business. They are collecting waste. They are separating that waste. They are selling the recyclables off of that, and they have a good business. And for us to go in on the backside and then to put in flow control and say you can't take it to Twin Chimneys in Greenville and get a better rate, you're going to have to bring it to us, and we're going to charge you anything we want to charge you, I don't feel like that's proper. So I have two problems. One is the home rule issue, but the other is doing it on the backside. Maybe if they had put in flow control 20-25 years ago when they set up the landfill, that may be one thing. But right now, I doubt if it would pass here in Greenwood County. But for the legislature to go in and tell Oree County, Lawrence County, Greenville County, whatever, I think legislature needs to stay out of that. And all it is big business lobbyists coming to them and trying to get them to control local governments. And I have an issue with it. I'm sure the legislature has their position on that.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely they do. But flow control certainly has created a lot of interest. Now, where is flow control as far as Greenwood County County Council?
There has never been a flow control ordinance presented to County Council To my knowledge, there is not being one drafted, and it is not being considered at this time.
Well, there you go. That's the simple, straight answer here today. Absolutely. So flow control is there, but it's not something that is being addressed here in Greenwood.
The county council here in Greenwood has gone on record, and we voted unanimously to oppose what was being done in Columbia by the legislature. We did that on a home rule basis, on an issue of home rule, but we have not considered implementing the flow control ordinance here in Greenwood.
All right. Okay, other things that are out there to talk about today. Steve, is there some issue you'd like to talk about? Maybe I, something I haven't brought up, but what would you like to talk about as far as issues facing the county? You did do a budget.
We did.
This year, and what did you feel about how the budget came together here?
It was a learning experience for me. It's certainly different than what I had experienced in city government. We have so many, many more departments in county government. You have so many funds. It's sometimes so cumbersome that it's difficult sometimes to know exactly what's in that budget. So it takes a lot of time. I experienced some difficulty in a lot of people don't want you to look at the line items. They want you to look at the bottom line, and they kept telling me you don't need to be asking questions about the small expenditures. You just look at the bottom line, and I had some problems with that, but we were able to get through the budget. I did not get everything in the budget that I would have liked, but there were a lot of changes that they were willing to make. And so I think this next year's budget is going to be more difficult than the one that we have that we're working on right now, because I think we have some capital needs, some capital expenditures. We have some facilities that need to be updated. We have roofs that need to be replaced. We have HVAC systems that need to be replaced. We have some equipment that has not been replaced in years that is worn out. We need to get some EMS vehicles, things of that nature. So we have a lot of needs out there. And when you delay those things for years and years and years and years, sooner or later it comes back to get you. So, and we're in that position right now.
So what you're talking about, things that are big capital expenditures, how would these be financed? Because I'm sure the money isn't just sitting there in the budget to put it out there.
Well, I would like to see us look at the budget a little bit closer. I think there are some areas that we could reduce spending and shift some funds from one area to another area. We may be overstaffed in some areas. We need to look at staff. I think we need to just take a close look at the entire budget. And a lot of people think the solution to everything is increase tax and bring more money in. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can solve all our problems bringing more money in. The people are already taxed heavy now, not only by us, but by other governmental entities. So I think we've got to look at how we spend our money and where we spend our money, set some priorities. And some things are nice to have, and those things that are nice to have may need to be some funds shifted from them.
Such as?
Well, I just think there's we just need to look at how we're doing our business. Can we do it more efficiently? Can we do it with less people? Can we consolidate? We have some departments that have one people in there. One person.
One people. One I like person. That. One people. Okay.
One person.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And I think sometimes that you can look at consolidating them into another department. Some people disagree with me. They disagreed with me this year when I suggested that we consolidate some departments. But I think there's some areas where we can look at those and see if we can save some money in some areas and then shift it to a higher priority. You know, I mean, it's not going to be an easy job. It's never been easy.
Sure.
But it's not easy sitting and voting for tax increases, and I'm not going to vote for a tax increase until we're able to sit down and look at all of our costs and see if we're spending the monies we have now, we're spending it wisely.
You know, I spend a lot of time talking to our congressional people, and, you know, what you're mentioning right there is it doesn't always have to be the big dollars. It can be the smaller dollars that add up, and I am always told that you have to look at the bigger picture and not at the smaller picture, but I concur with you. If we're able to cut expenses on this project and this project or this room or that room or how we're spending money, those little dollars will add up into bigger dollars.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, the federal government doesn't actually go with that either.
and we don't always do that in Greenwood County either.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had monies in this area for the last 10 years, so why shouldn't we put more money back in there? And you ask, and then when I'm looking at a budget, and last year I saw where it had $50,000, and I see this year it had $100,000, and I want to know where the 50's going, and they say, well, that's kind of micromanaging. Maybe you need to stay out of that, and you just need to look at the bottom line. Well, those are some. I mean, we can't deal with our needs and keep our expense down unless we're willing to ask the tough questions. And
somebody has to do it. Absolutely.
And you know, and we need to look at staffing.
Sure. Staff is of course all of it, is a good part of it too. So let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. What do you think what Steve Brown is saying here today? You got any questions or comments out there? You want to pick up that phone? You want to give us a call? 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of
this year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime, from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here with Steve Brown, County Councilman. He is concerned about budgeting and money, and I guess that comes from being a city manager, right, Steve?
Well, that's one of our most critical jobs as a county council member. It's a $19 million budget, I believe it is, for the county, and that's a lot of money, and you have probably 40-something funds that exist within that county budget, and it's time-consuming. Sometimes you have to, as I said earlier, you have to ask tough questions and you have to make tough decisions. But how in the world can you manage a budget if you don't take the time to go through it line item by line item? And we only can be assured that the county manager and his staff is administering that budget in the proper manner. I don't know the words, but it's proportional to how much we know about the budget.
Sure.
I mean, how can I do my due diligence to evaluate him as to how he's doing his job if I don't know enough about the budget to be able to make sure that it's being spent properly?
And when y'all go to do so, y'all came in like when the budget was already rolling in process, I guess we could say, when y'all came in.
Came in January 1, and there was a 6 months of a budget that had been approved by the prior council, but then we adopted a budget that was effective July 1, and we're now in that budget now.
So the next budget will actually come up when?
We will start working on it January 1, and it will become effective in July of 2014.
Okay, so it runs from July 1st through
right.
June 30th. Okay, so is this something that now that so that's on the back burner, so we don't look at that anymore, or how is that working as far as the budgeting?
Well, I mean, we have, all during the year there's matters that come up, and I mean you have bid and process, and you know, and sometimes there's some needs that were not made apparent to us in the when we were developing the budget. So we deal with budget matters quite frequently. And
I remember that you were rather upset about was the, they were talking about increasing the EMS fee.
They did increase the EMS fees, and my opposition to that was the fact that they had gone a large number of years. I think it was 6, 7, 8 years before they had, prior to increasing that fee, and then this, it was some drastic fee where they were going the mileage from you know, $5, $6, and $7 a mile increase on the mileage rate, and I just feel like it was a large increase, and maybe it could have been smaller.
You know, there's been a lot on county council with the $147,000 and some of the ethics issues and whatnot there. How do you think that county council is coming together, and the public's perception of county council as y'all move forward?
As a county council member, I cannot do anything about what has happened in the past. There's a lot of people that come to me and say, those monies ought to be paid back, they ought to do this, they ought to do that, they should not have done this. People have all kinds of ideas. That's for somebody else to decide. It's either the Ethics Commission or some court or whatever. I can't do anything about that. What I can do is work with the six other members who are on county council right now to make sure that our policies and our procedures and our ordinances are in place to prevent those kinds of things from happening again. I can tell you that every time that there has been an opportunity for us to amend, to make a new policy, to change some things that we felt like maybe got some past councils in some problem areas, I have found that the group that I work with right now, they're willing to do anything they can to prevent this from happening. I think our attorney is working with us. He is constantly looking at our policies. He has come to us and said, I think you folks need to look at this and amend this and change this. It doesn't comply with the law. There may be some problems in the future if you don't. So I see an effort by everybody. And I know some things have gone on in the past that I didn't agree with and a lot of people didn't agree with. But I feel good about how we are working together to try to make sure it doesn't happen again. And that's all we can do. We recently passed a new travel policy. We certainly don't have those funds in the budget where those monies can be spent. Nobody is being paid any extra monies. I mean, we're doing everything we can to try to correct some problems, and hopefully we're getting some good recommendations from our attorney and from our county manager, and then we're looking at it among ourselves. So I see an effort to correct some of those things. And when the opportunity avails itself, then you have to deal with it, and that's what we're doing. What'll happen to the past, that'll be for somebody else to decide. I deal with what we're doing right now.
The present and the future,
that's
guess,
right?
Exactly. Now, one of the other issues I wanted to talk about, I think it was last night, night before, y'all had a meeting together with City Council and County Council. How do you feel the working relationship? I know, according to the newspaper, I wasn't actually at the meeting, but y'all are working together great.
Well, it's the first meeting that I have attended as a new county council member with City Council. Having been their city manager for a number of years, there were a number of joint meetings that occurred while I was city manager, and I'm glad to see that we're getting together again. And I hope that not only will we be meeting with the Greenwood City Council, but I hope we will reach out to 96 and to Ware Shoals, to Hodges, and to Troy, to those council members, because they have concerns just like the city of Greenwood. But the meeting the other night went well. There were some discussions about how we can work together. And I think what we tried to do the other night was not try to put so much on our plate that nothing would be accomplished. So they looked at how parks and how recreation is handled, who funds maintenance, who funds the recreation part. And there's a lot of questions about the cost of doing that. They formed a joint committee. They're going to come back and put all those numbers on the table, because there's always people saying the county ought to do this, the city ought to do this, this one ought to pay for this, and you
sure
ought to pay for this. So until you know what those numbers are, so I think it was a good effort to say, okay, let's put the numbers on the table and let's answer some of these questions that have been posed to us, and let's see, is the county paying its fair share? Is the city of Greenwood paying its fair share? And if we aren't, how can we come together and make all of this happen and it's not a burden on either body? And So I think the meeting was good, and hopefully we'll continue to have those meetings. I mean, meeting and talking cannot do anything but be good for all of us. What happens inside the city has a positive impact on or a negative impact on the county, and vice versa. So we're foolish if we don't if we try to operate and not communicate with the other councils in the county.
Absolutely. And of course, one of the big things I think that has come out of these collaborations is the fact of the city, city police and the sheriffs working together. That's been a big positive.
It has been a big positive thing. I mean, there have been times in the past when I was city manager when that didn't happen, and it was not good. But now you have that cooperation, and crime doesn't stop or start at the city limits and doesn't end at the city limits, you know, so it's good that they're working together, and I think that's very positive. There's so many opportunities out there, and it's not always can we save money, but it's can we improve the quality of the service that we're providing, and it's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, Steve Brown, it as always is a pleasure to sit down and talk to you here today. Thanks so much for coming in and talking about your opinions and your views of as a county council. Gosh, it's good to see you in that seat.
Thank you for letting me be here. And, you know, I don't have all of the answers to all of the questions, but I do want to try to do a good job while I'm on county council. And I look forward to the coming months and working together with the public, with my other council members, with the other city councils throughout the county, and doing good things for Greenwood County. Hopefully we can land some more jobs.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, I do believe. You know, you have just been listening to Steve Brown from County Council. I'm Ann Eller. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Clemson takes over the airways. Bye-bye, everybody.